Romans 12 tonight, Romans 12, and Emily's coming to sing for us. We'll enjoy the good song, and then we'll be brief tonight. Romans chapter 12, we won't be too long in the study, and just a word about our upcoming missions conference. God bless you. Thank you.
A young girl weeps in a far distant land. She has no one to show her God's love. No mother or father to wipe away the tears. She cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart. A mother grieves for a starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. No earthly provisions will ease their suffering, but who will feed their empty souls? Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll give the gospel to these suffering ones. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Lord, please bury my heart. Will you ignore these lost souls in the night? Can you hear their pleading cries? They're begging for someone to show them the way. We must go before another one dies. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will no matter the cost. Lord, please bury my heart. Lord, I'll give you my heart.
Thank you, Emily. Good song tonight. I appreciate you filling in there at the minute, last minute for us. Our hearts for His harvest. And that's the theme on our hearts these days. Let's pray together. We'll jump into this tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please bless these words that we'll make tonight from your book. Thank you for the privilege to have a missions conference and set aside these days to consider this great, great task. And Lord, the great need and the great opportunity and the great privilege. It's all one and the same. Thank you for the opportunity. So Lord, be with us tonight as we prepare for our hearts, so again, on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, those that are coming, give safety as they journey and travel. And health, Lord, good health, may it be a wonderful, wonderful meeting. And we'll be careful to praise you. And thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And amen. Look at chapter 12, verse number 9, book of Romans. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And then it goes on down through verses 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all that right there. But look at verse number 13, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. And I want to talk for just a few minutes tonight on the subject of hospitality at the missions conference in just a few days. Romans is such an important book in the Bible. It's one of those books we should seek to learn more about, be well versed in as far as what it teaches. I've said before, chapters 1 through 8 deals with the principles of the gospel. You have the fact that man has to know he is lost before he'll ever want to be saved. And Paul nails all of that down in order in the first 8 chapters and then talks about once a person is saved, how that the indwelling Holy Spirit leading the life and the life yielded to the Holy Spirit produces that life that honors and glorifies Christ. Okay, principles of the gospel. Chapters 9, 10, and 11, you got the problems of the gospel. No, there's not a problem with the gospel, but how the gospel, how the nation of Israel gets along with the gospel, past, present, and future. Kind of a parenthetical place there. And then chapters 12 through 16 speak of the practice of the gospel. I've said many times that salvation is more than just a fire escape from hell. Far more than that, friend. It is ultimately for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to God. And nothing brings honor and glory to God more than dedicated Christians putting New Testament principles into practice. It's that Mount Ebal versus Mount Gerizim message from about three Sunday mornings ago, where, friend, it's not enough just to say, amen, I believe that book is true. If you want to get on blessing ground, you've got to obey it. You've got to put it to work in your life. Okay? Everybody says amen to it, you know, in Christian realms today, but there's a disconnect between the pew and the street, between the pew and the home. There's a disconnect. And you're not going to get on blessing ground without obeying this book. So that's what I'm talking about, putting New Testament principles into practice. And that's what chapters 12 through 16 are about in the book of Romans. All right, now, beginning in verse number 9, we have a list of Christian principles that every child of God should try to put into practice. You find a list like this once in a while in the New Testament. There's another similar list over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You remember some of those verses? Brethren, pray for us. Despise not prophesying, and everything give thanks. Prove that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good, so forth. There's a whole list of things there. And there's a whole list of Christian principles here in Romans 12 that every saint of God should try to put into practice. All right? Now, I want to talk tonight about that little phrase in verse 13, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. You know, you say, well, Pastor, haven't you talked about this before at missions conference time? Yes, I have. But thankfully, the church here over the years has a great testimony with our guests who come of being friendly and hospitable, and I hear that. And I don't think they're just tossing us bouquets. I don't think they're just throwing us a rose. I think they mean it from the depths of their heart. We've had a wonderful time. You have a warm church. It's a sweet spirit. Their people are very friendly. But folks, I never, ever want to take that for granted. Okay? You get in real trouble when you start assuming things. Okay? I was talking to Brother Caleb today about we're starting to make, you know, not just preliminary plans, but we're moving along with plans for the conference in April, Revival Fires Conference. And I told Caleb, this one coming up in April this year scares me more than the one last year. Because we've done it. And we've hosted it. And we've been through it. And the attitude is, hey, we did it, we can do it again. But friend, if you're not on guard, you don't get through stuff, okay? So I don't ever want to assume that, you know, we got a mission conference coming, and I want us to practice biblical hospitality for the missionaries. Hospitality, something every child of God should be proficient in. It is something that in which we can all be proficient. Hospitality. Webster's defines it this way: the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward, or with kind and generous liberality. I'll read it again. The act and practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. Being friendly to guests. Being friendly to strangers. What about family members? Because when it comes to Christian brothers and sisters, are they not family? In the Lord's family when these missionaries come in. So we want to be hospitable to all Christian people. I was thinking about this. We live in the age of suspicion. Everybody is suspicious of everybody. Nobody wants to trust anybody anymore. And I know we got to teach our children about strangers and how to respond to any person who would seek to compromise their safety. I understand that. That's wise and sensible. And not everybody that is named a Christian is worthy of complete trust. And that's too bad. But, friend, invited guests, when we have missionaries in, Brother Johnson speakers, they are deserving of our hospitality, okay? They are full-time pastors, evangelists, missionaries, so forth. And I want us to be on our toes always to make sure that we show good hospitality to these folks who come in. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go a couple places here. But I just want to remind you of some things tonight. First of all, and it's really just one thing to remind you of, to give you some practical things at the end. I want to remind you that missionaries are a gift to our church. You know, always have that mentality, okay? Don't ever develop. You know, I appreciate the way you responded to Brother Ferguson last Wednesday night. And Brother Ferguson wrote a nice email. He had a good time here. He was well received. People talked to him. And he said, you know, it was a friendly atmosphere. So he wrote a nice email about that. And so I appreciate it. And I just want to remind us always that the attitude ought never be, oh, brother, another missionary. But it ought to always be, oh, thank God, another missionary. Okay? We may not be able to support them all. We can't take on the missionaries that come through throughout the year in every case. But we plan on taking these missionaries coming to the conference on. But we can be hospitable to all of them. We can be friendly to all of them, whether we take them on for support or not. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then he says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. By the way, you notice there's a semicolon at the end of verse 11. In fact, when you start reading in verse 11, you don't come to the end of the sentence until verse 16. That's a long, how'd you like to diagram that sentence, English student, huh? That's a long sentence. Okay, so it starts in verse number 11, and it doesn't end until you get down to verse number 16, okay? So he says here that he gives some to the church, he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, verse 11 names the people who are given to the church. And then verses 12 through 16 explains why they are given. And there are several things there found in those verses. Now, something that is given is a gift. Now, understand that God has gifted every Christian with at least one spiritual gift. Most Christians have numerous spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts are always to be used within the body of a local New Testament church to help edify and build up God's people. We were talking tonight before the service about how blessed we are to have some of the talent around here that we have. And it's varied. It's varied. So I won't even start talking about the things we were talking about, Caleb and I. But the talented people here, gifted people that help edify the body. Let me tell you something, friend. It's sad when people are sit on a pew with a tremendous spiritual gift and never use it within the confines of the local church. I don't know how you do that in this New Testament church age. I don't know how you take a gift and profit from it financially and never use it for God's work. I don't mind you profit from it financially, but you ought to be willing to at least use it for God's work too. We're going to give out the revival fires tonight. We got a couple of guys in the church that are tremendous with helping us design things. And, you know, Ryan Harrison did this ad. We're going to give these. I got tired of seeing that same ad every month in Revival Fire, those same pictures. And so I said, Denny, can we put a pay? And they paid for it. We didn't pay for it. But I gave Ryan the text and gave him the idea. And he put that on and designed that. That's talent. Now, Ryan has made money in the past in graphic design. But, you know, and that's great. So has Doyce. But both those guys have done things for the church just to help. I think that's how you do it. You know, I'm not against people using a spiritual gift to make money. Some kind of gift and talent. But they ought to be willing to put that in the local church, put it to work, and just serve God and edify the body. Okay? So this, that's different. That's different than what he's talking about here. Okay? He has given everybody some spiritual gift. Okay? But this is different. He has gifted he's given certain gifted people to the church to help in the maturing of the saints. Now, look at the list here, verse number 11. The first two groups, apostles and prophets, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Those were offices that were necessary in the early days of the church. Okay? I'm talking about when the New Testament churches were just getting started. All right? Back in the first century. I think you know what the apostles are. You know, to be an apostle, there was a very plain and clear specification about who could be named an apostle. And not everybody that you see driving around in a 15-passenger van is an apostle, even though it may say that on the side, okay? There's a bunch of that. That doesn't work, okay? Because there were specific specifications that had to be met. They had to put their eyes on the resurrected Jesus. Now that's done. Okay? And Paul was the apostle born out of due time. But he saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. And you know, the truth of the matter is, that might be why he had so many eye problems after he had that experience on the road to Damascus. Maybe he left a lasting physical impairment from seeing the resurrected Jesus. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But he was the last apostle, okay? So you got very specific qualifications that made up the apostles, and there were only 12 of them. And they were very instrumental in the early days of when the New Testament church was being started. Okay? Church is being started. Now, also in that category was the prophets. Now, when we think of the word prophets, we usually think of somebody who's prophesying about future events. But that's not what prophets always mean. Prophets sometimes means just proclaiming God's word. You say, who were the prophets in the early days when the New Testament churches were being started? Well, remember that when the New Testament churches were being started, there was no complete Bible. Okay? No complete Bible. In fact, copies of the Word of God were pretty rare. All right? And no New Testament. So in Jesus' day, when he was on the earth, and in Jesus' day after he ascended to heaven, when Jesus left and went to heaven, some people prophesied. They didn't have a scripture, but the Holy Spirit spoke directly through them to people. Called direct revelation. Okay? Now, it wouldn't be recorded in God's Word necessarily. You say, who were some of the prophets? Well, remember, Jesus sent out 70 people two by two. We only know 12 of their names. So that means what? 58 of the others went out unnamed. They went out prophesying. They went out proclaiming God's word. You've got other people in the book of Acts, I'm sure, other people who were prophesying. They didn't have a completed Bible. They didn't say, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. They couldn't say, turn to Romans chapter 12. But they would say, thus saith the Lord. And the Holy Spirit would be speaking through them. Now, wait a minute. All of that stuff ended. Okay, let me show you here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for a second. Well, you know what? You're in Ephesians there, right? Flip back two pages to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Actually, verse number 19. He said, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, unsaved, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now you're saved. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So there's the apostles and the prophets being instrumental in the early days of New Testament churches being started. Okay? Apostles and prophets. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here's what some of those prophets would do. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. Paul said, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. The word edification means to build up. The word exhortation means to exhort, to motivate, and then comfort. So prophets in early New Testament days, before there was a Bible, okay? We can come preach. I can come to you and preach a message on comfort out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and you can go with me to the scripture and look at what the Word of God says. They didn't have that. But God, the Holy Spirit, spoke through prophets and comforted. You reckon any of those early saints in the early century needed any comfort? I think they probably faced more persecution than you and I do. They needed comfort. So they didn't have a Bible. God didn't give them any comfort. No, he gave them comfort through the voices of the prophets, through immediate revelation, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they spoke that way. And that's what he says, comfort, exhortation, edification. All right? So this was an office that was in use when Jesus was on the earth and then after that, after he ascended to heaven. Now look at chapter 13. You're right there. Look at chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse number 8. He's talking about charity here. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They'll come to an end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Sign gifts. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So there's no more. Does it mean there's no more knowledge? No. But there's nobody. Nobody stands up today unless they go to a Bible verse and proclaims to speak the knowledge of the Lord. Let me give you a word of knowledge that I got this morning. Where did you get it? Well, I got it when I was walking by the Kankakee River and I saw the mallard ducks flying in and landing there, and I saw a piece of ice float by, and I had a word of knowledge from God that He told me to tell you. We don't get that nowadays. Any knowledge that I hopefully can impart to you comes right out of this book right here. If it comes from anywhere else, throw it away. Okay? Unless it's about turnip greens or cornbread or something, you'd be wise to keep that. But anyway. So He says, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Look at verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I believe that is a reference to a couple things. One of the things it's a reference to is the completed Word of God. When that which is perfect is come complete, then that which is in part is done away. We don't need prophecy anymore. We don't have When I say we don't need prophecy, we don't have men standing up and speaking under the immediate revelation of the Holy Spirit without backed by this book. Are you with me? Okay? Without backed, you know, well, don't bring a Bible. I've got a message from God, but you don't need your Bible. Baloney. That's what that is. Okay? Bring a couple pieces of bread and some mayonnaise. You'll be getting a good dose of it. All right? All right? I'm serious. So that's gone away. So prophecy is not needed. Apostles are not needed. That's all done. Okay, those offices are fini. Okay, they're finished. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 4. You got apostles and prophets. And then Paul goes right on and he says he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay. The evangelists, pastors, and teachers are still in existence today. These are offices that are not done. They're still an operation. Now, some people consider the pastor and teacher to be the same person, and a pastor, obviously, according to the qualifications in Timothy, is supposed to be apt to teach. But I want you to see the order here. Apostles, prophets, okay, that's their very beginning of when the New Testament church age started, and some evangelists. So evangelists came before prophets, apostles, and prophets came before evangelists. And evangelists come before pastors and teachers. And it makes sense to me. There had to be evangelists before there were pastors. Because evangelist was basically somebody who went out, told folks about Jesus Christ, proclaimed the gospel, led them to Christ, and then organized them into a church. An evangelist was what we call a missionary. Really was. That's what Bible evangelists were. That's what Paul was. Paul was an evangelist slash missionary, a church planter. Paul, we've been through this in that message on first century missions giving. And by the way, if you're new here, you have never received the little booklet that I did, the Bible study on first century missions giving. Come by the office sometime. I got a box back there. I'll give you one of them, all right? I think we gave one to everybody in the church several years ago when I wrote it. I don't think about making it available to folks who come in. But it's very clear from the New Testament book of Acts that when Paul went on his journeys, he won folks to Christ, baptized them, and started a church. He won folks to Christ, baptized them, and started a church. And so there had to be, and then Paul didn't pastor any of those churches. Sometimes, once in a while, he left a person there to pastor for a while. Timothy pastored a church. I think possibly Luke might have pastored a church for some time. But Paul was an evangelist missionary, a church planter. So in the strictest sense of the word, a missionary is an evangelist. Now, they might be missionaries in the States. Jason Minkowski was a missionary. He went to Quincy with nobody. Started witnessing and seeing people saved and baptized. And the first Sunday in March, I'll leave here after the Sunday morning service and drive to Quincy. And we'll charter the Grace Baptist Church in Quincy, Illinois. And he's getting the folks ready for that right now. And then on Monday and Tuesday, we'll have a missions conference. I think it's a great plan. What better thing for a church to do after they first charter than to jump right into missions? Huh? Blessing. It's a blessing. So, you got Stephen Barr down here in Eureka. That's what he was. He was a missionary. He was a missionary to Eureka. Tommy McMurtry was a missionary to Rock Falls. And Nathan Barber will be a missionary up here to Shorewood this fall. And maybe Nick Thompson to Springfield. Or they might serve overseas. But they go out for the purpose of evangelizing and starting churches. Now, the point I'm making in all this is this. Evangelists and missionaries are God's gift to our church. God gave them to the church. Now, we need them, and we ought to be hospitable to them when they come. How do you treat a gift? Well, a lot of times how you treat a gift depends on who gave it to you. Right? If somebody you really respect and honor and love deeply gives you a gift, you treat the gift special, right? Well, God gave us evangelists. God gave us missionaries. These people, these families that are coming are not a burden. They are a blessing. Always remember that. Okay? Always remember that. Boy, I would hate for us to ever lose our edge and have any missionary family come through, whether it's missions conference or July. If a missionary family ever comes through here and we don't treat them hospitably, that would scare me, because they're God's gift to the church. All right. Now, let me give you some practical things. You've heard some of these before, but let me go through this with you. 10 statements. All right. How to treat hospital. How are you going to be hospitable to the missionaries? Speak to them. Speak to them. Just talk to them, folks. And I mean more than, hey, how you doing? Talk to them. Try to feel what they feel. In your mind, put your wife and your kids, if you got a family still at home, put your wife and your kids in a car, drive to a strange location, a strange church, pull into a parking lot, get out of the car and walk into the church where you may not know anybody but the pastor, maybe don't even know him. Think about that. Now, I don't mean just doing that on vacation. I mean doing that week after week after week after week. Sam Bunnell's daddy, that's the Panama flag. Sam Bunnell's daddy preached here years and years ago. That's Preston Bunnell's son. Some of you folks were here way back in the old building. Preston Bunnell preached here. That's Sam Bunnell's his son. That's Andrew Bunnell's brother. Sam, I think, might have been here when he was this tall. But he's not going to know anybody here much. Clark Berryman, I don't know if I've ever met Brother Berryman. I can't remember, and I don't know that he did. Does he know anybody in this church, Clark Berryman? Anybody know Clark Berryman? Okay. He's going to work with his brother. He's going to work with his brother. David Merlo, his dad's been here. He was here a year ago, Joe Merlo. Okay. I met David in Argentina, but I don't remember. That was years ago, back in 1997. Anybody here know David Merlo? Okay. And then this is Spencer Smith. I know Spencer. I don't know if anybody here knows Spencer or not. He works through Brother Runyon's ministry over here. So we got missionaries coming in. They're probably outside. Spencer knows me. I haven't seen Sam in years. David, I haven't seen in years and years. And I'm not sure I've ever seen Brother Berryman. So this is all new territory. So talk it up. Talk it up. Talk to them, okay? Get out of your comfort zone and talk to these missionaries. I know you do. Number two, visit with them. Visit with them. Ask how deputation is going, okay? Can I tell you something not to ask? Do not ask how much money they're trying to raise. That would be like them saying back to you, well, what's your monthly income? don't talk about money, okay? Unless you want to give them some. I'm sure they'll take it, all right? But anyway, you know, don't ask them about how much money they're trying to raise. Everybody has a different amount depending on where they're going to serve. And some places in this world are very inexpensive, and some places are out of sight. I remember when I went to Bob Mace's, and Kim Mace, and a cantaloupe was $8 up in Kotzebue, Alaska. $8 for a cantaloupe. I wouldn't eat much cantaloupe, but I don't know about you, but I don't like them that much anyway. But anyway, so visit with them. Ask how deputation is going. How's it going on deputation? How are you doing? How are your meetings going? So visit with them. Number three, encourage them. Just encourage them. Then tell them you're glad they're here. Anyway, it's a blessing you've come by. Number four, stop and look at their tables. I say that all the time. I say that all the time. Stop and look at their tables. And you know why I say that? Because of the experience that Ben had in that one church where the pastor warned him that he would be mobbed at the end of the service. You'll be mobbed. People are going to come by and see you because we're, and they all walked by and walked out the door without one stopping to say hello. Not one. So, yeah. So don't go by and look at their tables and talk to them, okay? Remember, next, if you are taking them out to eat Sunday, be mindful that they might be tired. So don't keep them out too late, especially Sunday after evening if you're taking them out after church. Be mindful, and it's fun that you get to visiting with them at 10, 11, 12 o'clock, and it would be late for Monday. Pick up their prayer card. Most of you do that. Please do that. Pick up their prayer card. When we have the meals over here on Monday and Tuesday night, sit with them at the meals. We ought not ever have a missionary family sitting by themselves. Now, I'll be with Brother Johnson most of the time. He's in his 80s. And Brother Caleb, he knows Brother Caleb, Brother Caleb's family. And we'll be tending to him. I don't want him to have any needs. I don't want him to have any worries while he's here. I think about that. Somebody in their 80s traveling to preach. That's big time. Okay? So I won't even have any trouble. So I'll spend a lot of time with him. But man, if you see a missionary family sitting by themselves, jump in. Okay? Well, I don't know if they'll like me. They'll like company. Okay? All right. So sit with them at the meals. Do not expect their kids to be angels. Just don't expect that to happen. Okay? I've told you so many times, there's only 6 kids in the world that have ever been angels. All right? Yeah, I know. So, but their halos were held up by horns, right? Okay. So, yeah. All right. But isn't that true? Yeah. Don't expect their kids to be angels. They got kids. You know what kids do? Kids make noise. Kids drop things. Kids hit their heads on the ends of the pews. Kids are kids. Kids are kids. Okay. Try to remember their names. At least by Wednesday night, have it down if you can. Okay. And then always, I ask you every year, pray about it and give a generous offering sometime during the conference. We have been blessed every year to give our missionaries at least, I'm talking about the 4 missionary the families, we've been blessed to give them at least $500 cash. Now, that's not including, we give them a $100 gas card. On top of that, some years we've given them more than that depending on what comes in because we don't keep any of it. Okay? So if you give a generous love offering at one time during the conference, we should be able to send them on their way with a nice love offering for them for being here and a good gas card, plenty of items to take with them. And hopefully when they leave, when they pull out of the parking lot, the last service on Wednesday night, they won't say to them, to each other, man, we're glad that one's over. Hopefully they'll say to each other, man, that was a blessing. You know who gets the benefit of that? We do. Amen? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you've done it year after year, but I don't want to ever take anything for granted. Especially this important. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. Heavenly Father, please, not only help us to prepare our hearts, but also, Lord, to prepare ourselves to be generous and kind, hospitable to these families that are coming in. And, Lord, encourage them. May their time here be very, very beneficial and profitable. Not just, Lord, in the area of support, but, Lord, in the area of encouragement. It's a long deputation. It's a long trail. So encourage these families while they're here, please. I pray in Jesus' name.